Welcome to this new episode of Liebe machen. And today we are speaking in English because there is a very special guest here, and this is Melissa. Hi, Melissa.
Hey, how's it going?
I'm very good. How are you?
Oh, I'm so good. I feel so happy to be here speaking with you. I feel like we've been kind of checking each other out online for some time.
Yeah, exactly. We kind of had like each other like close because we are like digitals on social media connected. But so far, we never talked deeply, and this is why I really wanted to have you here in this podcast, because you are doing amazing things, and I'm so sure there are a lot of other people who are just waiting for a person like you to, yeah, get to know your ideas, your methods, but also just your way of your personal work, yeah, and your life a little bit more. And because that is a big, big topic, I would love to just, yeah, ask you, like, can you tell us and the people who are listening a little bit more on your focus of relationship, intimacy, self-care? Like, what is it that you're doing?
Wow. Yeah. I mean, how to consolidate like 20 years of researching how it is to be a human being into like one sentence? Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-mm. Mm.
More than one sentence, please. It's
it suddenly feels so luxurious. It went from being so minimalist to like, okay, now you can explore. So I identify as a pleasure activist and an empowerment coach and an intimacy guide. I work with individuals, I work with couples, and I specialize in helping people to create tools for self-expression. And that for me, I believe that the root of intimacy is play, and that the root of intimacy is vulnerability, and that these two creatures, let's say, vulnerability and play, are essential bedfellows for creating the intimate experiences that we really want to be having as humans. It's like the so that's not so much about me, more about like what I'm interested in, but
it sounds so good.
Yeah, I guess in a nutshell, I'm a person who has come to accept their beautiful complications. And I've spent a lot of my life feeling like an outsider. Mm-hmm. And finding it difficult to connect with humans. And so I've made it my work to really understand what it means to deeply connect with humans and have meaningful relationships that can nourish us and on a sustainable level, not just about sexual relationships, but about romantic friendships, about casual intimacy, about having intimate interactions with like everybody, and having an intimate relationship with life and existence. So that's a little bit what I'm here for.
That sounds like a lot. It sounds like an interesting, intensive package. It sounds like, like a very focused, mindful being. And really being, I think that is also a point that is sometimes hard for people to just be, to be in the presence, to be in love, to be vulnerable, to be sexual, intimate, to be whatever it is, but to be and to be in the present. That's what I'm experiencing. And there is a sentence in Italian, which I unfortunately can't repeat, but it says just being in the moment and enjoying the moment, And that's what they do. Like, they drink their like coffee mindfully and just being in the moment, staying in the moment and doing it like with pleasure and enjoying the coffee. Exactly. I feel like that is kind of missing in our society. Like, we are running and running into the day, into relationships, into things that we want to experience, but we are often not in the moment and like being mindful and aware of what is actually happening right here. What do you think, what is kind of missing in society focused on connection, intimacy, and maybe even sex?
Well, what you just said about the importance of simply being, this really brings up a lot of, it evokes a lot of inspiration for me, because it helps me to understand, like, why I identify as a pleasure activist is because to embody our pleasure is actually kind of radical, you know? It's like when we live in a world that's so focused on success, so focused on individualism, so focused on consumption, so focused on doing, so focused on succeeding, much of people's kind of status, social status, is based on what they've achieved, not by how happy they are. And you know, and it's like so many relationships also all over the world are being categorized as successful if they are an appropriate match financially or categorically through their like social status. And there's less emphasis on simply being and simply being happy, and more emphasis on what have you done together, what have you achieved together. And it really reiterates why I feel so strongly about pleasure activism is the simple pleasure. It's not necessarily how much money you have in your bank account or how visible you are on social media or in your workplace. It's like how much pleasure can you derive out of the most simple sensations? Like, how happy are you when you have your coffee in the morning? You know? It's like when you take that cup, like, are you able to be in reverence of the beauty of the cup that you're drinking from? Are you able to like take in every element of that coffee? Are you able to like smell and appreciate, like, does your body breathe gratitude or does your body breathe, I need something more? There's always something better on the other side. So thank you for that inspiration. I guess I can start with that. I feel the most important thing is curiosity. We've been conditioned to, when we meet a person, whether that's like online or in real life, even without realizing it, we have this conditioned set of presumptions of what romantic, social, or sexual encounter we're going to have with them, based on what they look like, based on what they look like. We assume that if somebody looks like a woman, and if you're a man, that your interaction is going to be that of like frictional sex, and there'll be like a whole set of values around, you know, unattainability and mystery being important traits in order for there to be romantic chemistry. And it's like, what I really would love to inspire is this experience of curiosity, of looking at a human and going, I have no idea what you enjoy. I have no idea how you can feel safe. I have no, you know, it's like taking away the idea that there is no such thing as being experienced in intimacy, because every single human is just so individual. So curiosity and unfolding the presumptions that we have around what humans want and like, depending on what their gender is, depending on what they look like and what we might think about them.
I think it's a beautiful idea and chance to think in the way that you just describe it, to say I am experienced personally with like maybe even a couple of people, but when I'm meeting you, you are like, everything is new about you, and I'm so ready to be the unsure person. I'm so ready to be not an expert. I'm so ready to just be interested and get to know you and to find out what is it all about that you love and that you want. And maybe if you don't know it, let's experience it together. That sounds so wonderful and very vulnerable at the same time.
Like, it involves a willingness for both, for everybody involved, to be vulnerable and to say I do not know. Yeah, it takes a lot of courage.
Yeah, and like, if we are looking at intimacy, or like, let's not say intimacy, let's even say just in any part of relationship where one person meets another, if we are going into a relationship like this, that we just really say, you are a blank page to me and I am a blank page to you, and let's just be mindful with like interacting with each other and get to know each other in a vulnerable way of not knowing, not expecting too much, just like maybe having questions, like, I don't know, how would you like to get a hug from me, and to be open to like question if maybe even a hug, maybe it's not hugging, it's not even your thing, so maybe even would you mind having a hug, receiving a hug from me, and if so, how would you like it? And to be not sure but confident enough to ask, I think it's so strong and beautiful. Yeah. 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 Beautiful. Like, you really inspired me with what you said. Yeah. As a pleasure activist, that's the words that you use, right? Pleasure activist. Yes. How would you, is there any tip that you could give to like make a change in this society that we are actually having? Is there anything that you feel that is like maybe needed in today's society, where we are all just like running from thing to thing, doing step by step, but not like mindfully and not not mindfully?
Actually, I want to just repeat, I guess, almost like copy and paste what you just said about the questions. Honestly, I believe that if we're going to be quite political, which, like, as a pleasure activist, I see that pleasure is political. And if we're going to make structural political changes in the way that we relate to each other as humans, we need to be asking more questions. And I mean that for everybody. I mean that no matter what gender you are. I want to emphasize that it's even more important for people who identify as a man if you're dating women. I think in order to kind of dismantle the centuries and eons of patriarch that we've had, where we have not been interested in the pleasure of women, we have not been curious about what a female identifying person might need to feel safe or to feel access to pleasure, there have not been questions asked. And so I see it as the responsibility of people who are in relationship with women to ask women more questions. Because often I feel that women, female identifying people, are conditioned to not even really know what it is that they want. Yeah. So for me, that's the most important piece. Let's get really curious about what it is that we want. And from that place from that base of curiosity, then we can, as soon as we have space to think about what it is that we want, as soon as we are told that we're allowed to have desire.
Oh, that's such a big point. Yeah.
Yeah. And then maybe we can get creative and imagine what is it that we could want if we had all the power in the world, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So agreeing. Yeah. Mm. Looking back in history, like female identifying people, but not only female identifying, also people who just look like they are female in the like stereotypical old way of seeing women and men. I mean, that all makes sense what you said, because we, like I'm saying we, because I also identify as a woman. We didn't experience being allowed to be even a woman, like back in the days. Even 100 years ago, there were psychologists, and also Freud and Sartre said that the female gender is a not really existing gender, it's just a male gender that just transformed into a hole. And because there is a hole, it has to be filled with a penis. And it's insane. It's insane.
Wow, I mean, what kind of sex life were these people having in order to make such heinous statements?
Right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, like, I'm really shaking my head when I'm thinking about the sentences and what it really meant to be a woman back in the days. We can, like, only, like, I can only imagine it, like, from what I learned so far and my teachings in, like, sexual therapy and yeah, feminism. But like, I'm thinking about, like, my grandma or their grandma. And this is actually the time where people, where Sartre, for example, taught about this. And so let's think a little bit more back into the past, how many women never felt allowed to be themselves and to not speak out for themselves. And you said something that really like sticked into my head. You said, only when we feel allowed to do it and when we actually do it, then we can be creative. And yeah, creativity only comes when you're relaxed and when you're enjoying yourself, even in emotional bad way. Like when I'm sad, when I'm angry, I can also be creative, but I need to be here. I need to be me. And if I'm like working for others, like if my partner is directing me in any type of way, then I'm only behaving in that way, but I'm not behaving in my way, and so I'm not thinking in my way, and I'm only fully myself, I would say, if I feel who I am, if I'm allowed, like I should be always allowed to do what I feel, what I want, as long as I'm not hurting anybody, but then also being creative. I think that's a really great yeah, sentence that you made, because now I'm thinking about it.
Well, I mean, it's even been scientifically proven, yeah? Like, it's like the recent science around the polyvagal theory, around like the different autonomic nervous system states, that in order for us to have access to play, we literally need to be, we need to feel so safe.
Uh-huh.
So for me, that's why it's so important for people who are sexually connecting with femme identifying folks. It's like, we need to really be making sure that, well, everybody needs to feel safe. So, and from that place of safety, we can then, it is essential. It is like biologically essential for us to feel safe in order to be able to play. Yeah.
What do you think? What could like possibly change? Let's maybe keep like our eye on women who identify as a woman. What do you think, like looking back into the history and now, and what you're experiencing with people who are maybe also working with, or your own personal experience, what can happen when people are starting to change?
Can you clarify what you mean by starting to change?
Mm-hmm. By the time that a person allows themselves to step into, yeah, the best version of themselves, to go maybe and work with you, what can be the change that they are experiencing?
So, the reason why I have the word empowerment in front of coach is that I feel there is so much beauty in understanding how to self-source all of your intimate needs. And by intimate needs, I don't mean just like get really good at being able to masturbate. That's not what I mean. I mean, this notion of safety, whilst I understand that it is important for us to all be responsible for the safety of the folks around us, I also think it's incredibly powerful. It's almost like level two. It's almost like the next level is when women identifying people can self-source that safety.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where my turn on really is, to be able to understand, to be able to help people understand and have compassion and acceptance for their individual needs around safety, so that they can source that for themselves. And then when they go out and meet another person, they're sharing that climate of safety that's already fundamentally grown for them with themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And so from this place, you know, it doesn't necessarily mean that you're a superhero and you're invincible and no matter what happens to you, you feel safe. It means that it's this notion around pleasure resilience. And that for me, resilience is more important to me than kind of being super seductive and being really confident. For me, I source my confidence from a place of resilience, where I know no matter what happens to me, I'm able to regulate on my own. I'm so clear in my boundaries that I'm able to navigate situations to feel as good as possible for me and my nervous system. I'm able to ask for what I need and not be attached to the outcome, because I've unraveled the codependent pathways of relating in that way. So it's like, these are the things that feel really important to me and feel like the points that I feel can help women in particular to have the intimate experiences that they're really worthy of having at this point, you know? Yeah. Mm. It's been too long.
That's so true. Yeah. Yeah, and like, I think for every gender or non-gender identification out there, feeling this safety that you're talking about and feeling grounded is a major key to living the life that you want to live. And it's so hard sometimes. Or let's say even often, I think it's so hard to feel safe when life is just happening. You know, maybe you're coming from a certain type of education, family history, or whatsoever. And I think in relationships, there is often this fear to get herded, this fear of like falling and growing, breaking it down, rising up, and to stay loving, to stay willing to be vulnerable, because life is painful and it's about feeling it and then letting it go and growing and taking it as a lesson to make a change and to rise up. But sometimes it's so tough. And I think what you are doing is very important. And I guess there are a lot of people out there, and maybe also some of the people that are listening to this podcast, who can identify to this and who also feel the need to feel safety within themselves. yeah, and then like to put like pleasure on top and to maybe be able to like come into a relationship again, and to this time to stick in it, stay in it, and stick to a relationship in general, to be able to be in a relationship to someone and not completely blocked or scared or anxious. It's tough, but I'm so happy that there are people out there like you, Melissa, who are taking a step forward to them and saying, here I am and I'm helping you and I'm there. Can you tell us a little bit about how you are working? Are you working more digital, or are you meeting people in persona? Because like now we have Corona time, this is why we are also recording digitally. But how is it normally for you? How do you work with people?
I'm really happy you asked that question, because it's transforming, you know. Once upon a time / before Corona, my medicine is in the physical, it's in the embodied, and by my medicine, I mean like my offering and what I really feel like I'm here for, what my prayer is to the world. It's a very physical prayer. So I had this belief that my gifts were only valuable if you were to come and work with me in person, you know. So I've been doing embodiment coaching and empowerment coaching, and doing different kinds of like body work, medicine rituals with people for the last 3 years. And so that's all in person. And I do retreats and workshops that are very immersive, and it really is required to be here in person. However, since Corona, I've actually really fallen in love with being able to create these super safe containers where people can unfold and be in their own home. And actually, it's been I'm so grateful for being able to tune into this aspect of the work, you know. It's like in my recent online course, it's all about the way that our sensuality, so it's for femme folks, it's for people on the femme spectrum. And in the course, we had a trans person, we had a trans masculine person, and they said to me, you know, Melissa, I've been following your work for so long, and I've really wanted to come and work with you and come to your workshops. However, I felt like I would feel so triggered and so unsafe. They were so scared of being in a workshop in person because they were so, you know, they were so aware that they would maybe need to walk out the space and come back whenever they're triggered. And they received so much out of being able to do it online at home. And so I'm actually really grateful for being able to do specific kinds of work, especially with embodiment, you know. It's like right now I'm really excited to be working on a body of work that helps femme folks kind of dismantle the way that patriarchy and the way that the male gaze affects and influences and distorts their own authentic sensuality. And so this is really powerful to do in front of a camera, actually.
yeah, congratulations that you like doing it that way now. I think it's brilliant to also work digital, not only, but because like I experience it from my perspective. I'm working almost fully digital now, and I'm missing being close to people and having like a talk in persona, physically there. It's something else, but I also feel you that we can connect worldwide. We can like reach people who maybe aren't the group type and always wanted to have like their safe space at home. And I mean, that's what it is. Our home is our safe space. Hopefully for a lot of people out there it is. And yeah, I can totally agree that there is a different dynamic because we are at home, and we are not we're not sitting in a practice, like in my practice, where they know this is like for therapy or coaching and or meditation, hypnosis. They are like in their own environment, and that is definitely a change and a chance as well to make something differently happen. You know, like sitting on your own bed or sitting on your own floor in your flat and meditating or doing some kind of exercises is different than being somewhere else in an institute or in a practice. So I really, really appreciate also working digital these days. I totally understand you. All right. I could talk with you like for hours. Well, but maybe to like give some like little like ideas to the people who are listening about what they can maybe do to connect differently with others, maybe you have like three things that you could name where a relationship that could start smarter or better when they are doing it, like little pieces of knowledge that you can share with us.
Yeah, so I feel like the three sweet spots in writing for me is communication. So ask more questions. Communication. I want to demystify the idea that communication makes encounters less sexy. I'm like, communication is so sexy. play, creativity, you know, play before being sensual with play before being sexual with each other. Focus on the sensual play, you know, write a song, write a poem, dance together, draw together, clown together, do whatever you need to do to get into the beautiful, vulnerable space of play. The last one would be belonging, like notice where you feel you're accepted and where you feel you can begin to dismantle shame, where you feel freedom and belonging.
That's so brilliant. Thank you so much. I really, really hope that there are some people out there who are thinking, yes, this is what I want. And this is what also helps me just to know what I can do better. I love the idea to play and to, to just like maybe even be a little bit childish and do stuff that you normally never do. There is a magic in playing. Yes. Well, Melissa, I'm so thankful that you like gave me so much inspiration. maybe just like a last question. So if there are people who want to, and I'm so sure they want and they will, after this great talk, if they want to connect with you, where can we find you?
So it's really easy to find me in the digital world. I am so slutty online. I am so easy to find. So my website is my brand name, my coaching kind of brand is Elemental Eros. And so you can find me all kinds of places online, all of the kind of usual spots. My social media handle is Elemental Eros, and then my website is elementaleros.com. And if you want to get in contact and email me directly and find out what kind of fun stuff is going on, whether it's during these corona times online or whether you want to come and find me, you can email me at melissa@elementaleros.com, and there'll be some fun stuff going on post corona in Berlin. I'm mostly in Berlin or Amsterdam and sometimes London, but thank you so much, Helen. This was so beautiful.
Thank you. I'm also gonna put a link in the description so that everybody can find you. perfect.
Thank you, honey.
Thanks, Melissa.
Have a good day, my
love. You too. Okay, bye. And bye. Thank you all for listening. To the wonderful Melissa. And I'm happy to hear you, see you, chat with you soon.